I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Well, the Vice President of the United States of America, behind the seal of the Vice President of the United States of America, just came out and called Donald Trump Hitler. So that just happened in America. Way to tone down the rhetoric, Democrats. Way to tone it down in the wake of two assassination attempts. Unbelievable. It really is a new low. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. It's this hit piece that was written up, and it's been denied by multiple people who've been in the room, who were in the room when this exchange apparently took place. And I'll share this with you right now because this is important. So it's all of these comments that General Kelly says Trump made, praising Adolf Hitler, wanting his generals to be like Hitler's generals. And there's no audio recording of this, so it's Kelly's word against other people's word. And there are people who were in the room who said this didn't take place. One of those guys is a guy named Nick Ayers. Nick Ayers is a Pence guy. He was chief of staff to Vice President Pence, and he has not gotten involved in a lot of this stuff, but he came out and said the following. He said, "I've avoided commenting on intra-staff leaks or rumors or even lies as it relates to my time at the White House, but General Kelly's comments regarding President Trump are too egregious to ignore. I was with each of them more than most, and his commentary is patently false." So the fact that Kamala Harris came out today and gave a speech, and we'll play the audio in a little bit, some of it anyway, saying that Donald Trump praises Hitler, it just shows you how incredibly desperate they are right now, as we are 13 days away from the election. And the Cook Political Report has tossed Pennsylvania into the toss-up category when it comes to the Senate seat. It was lean Democrat. It's now a toss-up. Most of these swing states are now toss-ups because the polls are showing that Trump is leading and the Republicans in those states are leading as well. So they got to go back to the Hitler playbook. It's almost becoming a joke at this point where, you know, I was actually joking with some people in the hallway, but we could do a new segment. You know, who's the dictator that he got compared to today? Is it Hitler today? Is it Mussolini today? Is it Stalin today? Is it Pol Pot? I mean, and I just think it falls on deaf ears. I really do at this point. It's shameful that you have the Vice President of the United States of America engaging in this crap. It's rumor, and it's John Kelly's rumor is what he's, and based on that, she comes out and gives, and it tells you that they know that they're losing, because they have no interest in civility whatsoever. They have no interest in trying to lower the, this is why when I was asked that question right after Trump's assassination attempt, don't both sides have to lower the rhetoric? I said, no, because it's not, you can't, there's no moral equivalency between saying Joe Biden has cognitive decline or Kamala Harris is a radical San Francisco progressive and Trump is Hitler. And one of the greatest embodiments of evil in history. There's no moral equivalency there. You know, you could say Kamala Harris is lazy. Hell, I'm lazy. But to say that somebody is Hitler, and then the crazy people hear this and think, I've got an obligation to stop Hitler, because there's a thing, a real question, you know, if you could go back in time, would you kill Hitler? It's one of those great philosophical conundrums, because seemingly the answer is yes, but then what changes and how does history alter itself? And it's kind of stuff you debate in philosophy 101, but you don't sit there and debate, would you go back in time and kill a lazy person? That's why when you sit there and you try to equate Trump calling Kamala Harris lazy or her calling him Hitler or referring to these comments and saying that he's Hitler, you just can't. It's not the same. It's not even close to being the same. And that's the problem, is that we're told that the rhetoric, the temperature has to be lowered, right? You got to cool down the rhetoric. And they go with the absolute worst of the worst, which is Adolf Hitler. There's no comparison. And they do this on purpose because they know that it's going to drive the news cycle, and it's going to drive the news cycle nuts. And you just heard that in the CBS News. You just heard that update there. That and the fact it isn't interesting, McDonald's now has an E. coli outbreak right after Trump works at McDonald's, or excuse me, does a staged photo op at McDonald's on Sunday. Isn't that something? Because he didn't get compensated for the work. So even though he was working the fries and he was working the drive-through window, since he wasn't compensated, I know the left loses their freaking mind when you use the word work. Even though in their mind, nobody should have to actually work to get a paycheck. You should just get a universal earned income. Thank you, Dan. Some sort of a basic human income or whatever the hell they call it. But Trump was at McDonald's, and now there's this E. coli outbreak going on in America at McDonald's restaurants. Funny how that works, isn't it? The timing of that. And then right in our backyard, Jaime's restaurant, Jewish deli and restaurant on the main line. And Lou Barson, the owner, is a great guy, real nice guy, stays out of politics. But they use his restaurant for a commercial. Didn't identify Jaime's. They're killing him on all the Facebook pages, on the Lower Merion Facebook pages. And the McDonald's where Trump was at, they're killing that McDonald's, too. I mean, there's it's funny how our side doesn't do this. It's funny how we don't do this. Kamala Harris is at the Warwick Hotel, I think, in Philadelphia, somebody said today, down by in Center City. And there's not going to be MAGA supporters going over there later and protesting the hotel for daring to host her. We just go on with our day. We're working. We got families. We got lives. We just don't have time for this crap. But they always have time for this crap. It's amazing. But what they'll do now is they'll drive the news cycle about Trump being Hitler and these stupid comments that John Kelly says he made, that other people who were in the room said that he did not make. And you've had multiple people now come out and say that he never praised Hitler and his generals. But it'll drive the cycle. And that's what they're hoping for, because let's face it. And she's speaking in Philadelphia right now. Harris is in Philadelphia. Right. In fact, you know what? Let's pop this up for a moment here. I want to hear if she brings up this Hitler crap again, so as she's campaigning. She's got Mayor Cheryl Parker right next to her.
Every moment of each day, you've been doing this work. We have 13 days to go. And I am so deeply thankful to you. You are having an impact on, for the most part, people that you may never end up meeting, because your work here will impact people around the country. Understand that. You are having an impact on people you may never meet, people who may never know your name. But because of the time and the heart and the effort you are putting into this, you are going to forever impact people in a very important and positive way.
She's just repeating herself.
This is about the fact that we love our country and we are prepared to fight for the best of who we are. And so I thank you. I thank you. And in front of all the friends, I thank your mayor.
Yes.
Okay, Vice President,
they're cutting out of that. Thank God. So she's campaigning. She's at a campaign office, I believe, in Center City, Philadelphia, with Mayor Parker at the moment right now. And they're holding hands and smiling at each other. And look, this effort to try to tie Trump to anti-Semitism and Adolf Hitler is right out of the 2016 playbook. I mean, literally, I remember when Jared Kushner, who is President Trump's son-in-law, who is a very observant Jew. I mean, he doesn't text on Saturday mornings. He follows the rules, whatever the rules are. I'm not Jewish. I don't know. But I just know that there were times when I tried to reach him that I couldn't. And he married Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump's daughter, who converted to Judaism. And then they raised their kids Jewish. And Jared's grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. And during the 2016 campaign, he had to write an op-ed. No, my father-in-law is not an anti-Semite. See, this is not new. There's nothing new about this. There's nothing new about what they're doing. And that to me tells you everything. They are literally going back to the same tired playbook they used in 2016. And it didn't work then, and it's not going to work now. If anything, it's going to work less now because people saw the guy as president for 4 years. And guess what? He didn't invade Poland. He didn't put people in camps. He didn't declare himself the supreme leader, and he didn't stay in office. He didn't burn down the Capitol and then declare himself the supreme Führer. He just left the White House. There were people who rioted at the Capitol on January the 6th. He said, go march down there peacefully and patriotically. He didn't stay on January 7th. Wasn't like, well, you know what? People rioted at the Capitol and I'm inspired now, so I'm not leaving. Good luck trying to get me out of the White House. I've declared myself president again and I'm staying. And good luck trying to get me out of here. And he didn't stage a coup against Joe Biden. He didn't declare the military to be his own personal military. He didn't stage the military around the White House to say nobody can come here for the transfer of power because I'm not transferring the power. I mean, no president in American history has ever done that before, and I have no idea what that looks like. Because it's the stuff of dystopian novels and dumb TV movies like that stupid Civil War movie that came out, which clearly was just a Hollywood fantasy of assassinating Trump in the Oval Office. If you ever watched the ending of it, the movie's bad. It's a dumb movie. It was a great premise. America have fights a civil war, but there's no explanation for why Texas and California were allies. It's a stupid movie. But the point is this. We've never had a situation in American history before where a president has not left. And how does that even work? What the president decides, the commander in chief, and technically he's not commander in chief. Once the new president takes the oath of office, the military is not supposed to take an unlawful order. So theoretically speaking, if the president at 12:01 p.m. on January 20th is no longer the commander in chief, the military is not supposed to listen to him. And now you're just an occupant in the Oval Office and the White House, and you're technically trespassing. But let's just take this hypothetical, stupid scenario to its next logical conclusion, shall we? Because I'm getting really exhausted hearing this from the left about Trump will never leave the White House. Just say, let's go back. It's January of 2021. It's January 7th. And the riot at the Capitol doesn't work. And they certify the election of Joe Biden. And now everybody's packing up their things. And Trump says, you know what? The hell with it. I got the military. I'm staying. I'm not leaving. I don't care if they certify the election. Who cares? I'm not going anywhere. So he calls up a general and says, listen, I need you to give me, I need a bunch of Marines on the South Lawn. I need rocket launchers on the roof of the White House. And I need you to bring up the 82nd Airborne and put them on the South Lawn. And general's like, why? It doesn't matter why. I'm just telling you what to do. I'm the commander in chief. All right, fine. So then all of a sudden now the military is surrounding the White House. Okay. January 20th comes along. And let's say Trump orders Joe Biden to be arrested by the military. And let's say the military agrees to go along and arrest the vice president, the president elect of the United States of America. And now the United States Secret Service that's protecting him has a standoff with the military. And I guess there's some sort of a violent conflict here and a shootout. And let's say the military wins and kills the Secret Service agents and now has Joe Biden in custody. So he can't take the oath of office. And it's January 21st, 2021, 12:01 p.m. He's supposed to take the oath of office, but he can't because now he's in the jail that Trump built in the White House. Or maybe he throws him into the vault like you see in the dumb movies where they take over the White House, like Olympus Has Fallen, I think is the movie, which is another stupid movie. It had such great premise, though, didn't it? But let's say this. He throws him into the vault and he locks the door and Joe Biden's in there. And Trump's like, I'm not leaving. I'm president now. And then everybody's like, what the hell do we do now? So now the generals and all these other people start resigning because they're saying, I'm not going to follow this. This is not how our country works. We're not doing this. And Trump says, fine, you're fired. I'll appoint another general. And eventually he gets generals who all say, we'll do your bidding and we're going to keep you in power and we're going to stay in power. And then immediately there's a challenge. It goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court orders the president to vacate the White House, and the president says, well, okay, you've made your ruling. Now send your army to come move me out. And he's got he's found military people that will stand by him. But you've got other military people that won't. And so now those military people have broken off and they're saying that we're going to go and take this imposter out. And now you've got a potential real problem on your hands. But did that happen? No. What happened? January 21st, he doesn't go to the inauguration. He walks out of the White House. I remember this because I was in morning drive. He walks out of the White House with Melania. The staff's on the South Lawn. They all clap. They cheer for him. He gets on Marine One. Marine One takes off. It flies to Andrews Air Force Base. He gets onto Air Force One for his final ride as, at this point now, he's about to be a private citizen, but he's still the president. Gets on Air Force One and proceeds to fly to Florida. At no point on Air Force One before Joe Biden takes the oath of office does Donald Trump order a strike on Washington. Because again, if you want to have these stupid, idiotic fantasies, then let's go with this. So now he's on Air Force One. He's the commander in chief. Still, it's 11:30 a.m. Biden doesn't take the oath of office for another 31 minutes. It's 12:01 a.m. on January 21st is when he becomes the president. Hasn't taken the oath of office yet. They're doing all the hoopla and Trump says, you know what? The hell with it. I want the Air Force, the Navy, I want them to blow up the Capitol and kill everybody there. I've decided I'm staying in power. Is anyone going to actually do that at that point? Is the military going to blow up the United States Capitol and kill Congress and kill Biden and kill? No, but he didn't. So we never had to worry about that in terms of a test of whether or not they're listening to the commander in chief in his final 35 minutes or not, because he just flew quietly on Air Force One, landed in Palm Beach at Palm Beach Airport, got out of Air Force One into the motorcade, drove to Mar-a-Lago, where he proceeded to be citizen Donald Trump at 12:01 p.m. I guess the question is, did Adolf Hitler do any of those things? Did Adolf Hitler ever leave? I mean, at any moment when Hitler seized power in Germany, when he did, and there's a wonderful book, by the way, called Midnight in the Garden of Beasts. It's all about Hitler's rise to power, but particularly Berlin and what's going on in Berlin during the time. And, you know, you've got the president of Germany who's a total wuss, and how Hitler's able to essentially take over power and, you know, they eventually declare himself to be the supreme Führer. And there were people in the military who didn't like the guy, didn't like Hitler, and they didn't want to be loyal to him. And there was the president controlled the military, but Hitler had the SS or the SA at the time. And then it's a great book to read. But at no point does Hitler leave. He just keeps consolidating his power until he declares himself to be the supreme Führer. And anybody who didn't agree with him in the military gets taken out. And there's a couple of different instances where they try to take him out and the coups all fail. And the rest is history, as they say. But there were all kinds of disagreements between the SA and the SS and the Gestapo and the German military at the time. And the president, who, like I said, was a total wuss and eventually just gave Hitler the power. And then they had the fire at the Reichstag building, and then Hitler declares himself to be the supreme Führer. And did Trump do any of those things, or did he just get on a plane and fly to Florida? So this is why this is so ridiculous. You've got his Jewish son-in-law who got his daughter. Like, I'm pretty sure, I don't think Hitler had kids, from what I understand. I'm not a big historian, but from what I understand. And I'm pretty sure that if Eva Braun and Hitler were like, oh, honey, who's your boyfriend? And she's like, oh, this is my boyfriend, Jared. He's Jewish. And I'd like to convert to Judaism and marry him and raise my kids Jewish. I'm pretty sure that would not have gone over well in the Hitler household. I mean, this is so ridiculous. And Jared had to write that op-ed. No, my father's not an anti-Semite. And to think about what his kids, and by the way, his kids are wonderful. Jared and Ivanka's kids, they're great kids. To think about what they have to deal with, right? They're Jewish kids who have to hear how their grandfather, who loves them and plays with them all the time, is Adolf Hitler. And Kushner's got to defend the fact that his grandmother, who survived the Holocaust, who was literally in a concentration camp, and how personal this is to him, how his father-in-law, and he's running the campaign. Look, for anyone who doesn't believe this, 2016, Jared Kushner was the brains behind the operation in every aspect of this, from 2015 all the way through 2016 and through most of the years in the White House, even when they reached the Abraham Accords, with him and Avi Berkowitz, another Jew, by the way, as they reach one of the most historic Middle East accords, which would have, had Biden seen through, resulted in Saudi Arabia and Israel forming an alliance and a partnership that would have protected Israel. Oh, and the same guy who's allegedly the Führer agrees with Israel that the capital of Israel is not Tel Aviv, it's Jerusalem, and moves the American embassy to Jerusalem. and then signs this historic accord, the Abraham Accords, which, like I said, had Biden followed it through, Israel would be in a much different position right now. Saudi Arabia would be a staunch ally of Israel, and October 7th would have never happened. Instead, what happens? Trump leaves and goes to Mar-a-Lago, becomes a private citizen, and Joe Biden cozies up to Iran and starts giving Iran billions of dollars. Iran, who openly says they want to destroy Israel and they hate the Jews and they hate Muslims too, by the way, a lot of Muslims, if you're not on their side of fanaticism. But Iran's made no bones about it. They want to blow up Israel. They want to destroy Israel, see all the Jews exterminated. And the Biden administration cozies up to that country, but yet he's Hitler? He's Hitler. I mean, the absurdity of all of this. But these lunatics who keep saying this scenario of Trump not leaving the White House, well, then why the hell did he leave? I mean, I keep coming back to this. Why did he leave? Nobody in the history of this country has ever taken that out for a spin before, this whole let's just see if they can force me out. And I don't know what the hell it looks like. Nobody does. You can only conjure up scenarios and fantasies because it's never happened. And who knows how it looks? Maybe some West Wing staffer would go in and kill the president. Maybe a Secret Service agent would say the hell with this and pop the guy. Who knows? I don't know. But the point is, Trump didn't try any of that. He just left. Name me a dictator in the history of the world. Like, not even just the modern world, but the world who left. Who was like, I'm going to leave peacefully. But mark my words, if I ever get back in here again, I'm going to be a dictator. I'm going to teach you people. I'm going to go and run again to be the leader. But if I get back in there, then I'm not leaving. It's so stupid. It's beyond idiotic. The guy had control of the entire United States military and all the federal law enforcement officials that go with it, that are under the executive branch of government, which, by the way, there's like 3 million people that have guns in the federal law enforcement, probably more than that, actually. It's probably like 30 million at this point. If you add up all the EPA police and the IRS police and the FDA cops. Yeah, freaking FDA's got armed officers. They go in and they bust the Amish all the time for selling raw milk and raw cheese. So between the military as commander in chief, the executive who's got all these agencies with guns and ammo. And yet he doesn't decide to try that. You know, that novel little thing that's unprecedented in American history of saying, the hell with it, I'm staying. Good luck getting me out. And Biden could barely find the White House that day. I mean, do you remember the inauguration parade from the Capitol on Pennsylvania Avenue? I think Biden almost walked past the White House. At one point, they had to like tap him on the shoulder and be like, you got to turn here, Mr. President. This is the gate. And he was like, whoa, where am I? Were there cannons set up on the White House lawn as Biden's motorcade was coming? Was Trump firing rockets at it? The fact that we have to have this conversation, the fact that I have to act like right now I am directing in my mind what would be an amazing movie. See, if I had done the movie Civil War, it would have been really good. I've got a great imagination for this stuff. Maybe just Trump doesn't, I guess. Maybe that's it. Maybe he spent the last 4 years figuring out what he could have done wrong when all he could have done, he spent the last 4 years thinking all the things he could have done differently. And all he had to do at the time was just decide something that no president has ever done in the history of our country and say, I'm not leaving. I'm declaring myself to be president again. Make me leave and see what happens. This falls on deaf ears because people know the guy left. If it didn't work in 2016 before the guy became president, how's it going to work in 2024? This is why it's so stupid. And, you know, you listen to these, to the black guys who were talking to whatever name is Alex Wagner on MSNBC. And they're all like, would you stop already with this Hitler stuff? Like, enough. Like, stop. Stop. It's stupid. He's not, the guy's not Hitler. Like, enough. Yeah, let me take a quick break. We got the chairman of the RNC coming up on the show. I'll come back with my movie fantasies later in the show. But if I were you, I would invest in my movie company because it's going to be a huge success. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Streaming live on YouTube. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I'm going to say something right now to my guest before I introduce him. If this whole RNC chairman thing doesn't work out, you got a future in radio because you're on this show more than I am sometimes. You know that?
You know, it is good to be on with you and your listeners, and we are grateful for it.
I love it. I love it. I want you to be my co-host. I mean, come on. I know we're going to win in November, but just on the off chance we don't, you got a spot here, buddy. This is the RNC chairman, Michael Whatley, joining me live right now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Where are you at this moment, Mr. Chairman?
I am in Lansing, Michigan. We just did a press conference with a state party chair and one of our great congressional candidates here. Michigan feels really good. We were in Wisconsin yesterday, and then we're going to get on a plane and head out to Las Vegas. Pounding the pavement right now.
Las Vegas, I assume you're working. You're not taking a day off like Kamala Harris did yesterday.
My goodness. 14 days out and you take a day off to get ready for an interview that frankly didn't go that well. It's really kind of stunning. You think about what Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are doing all day, every interview, every platform, every conversation. And Kamala Harris just cannot get out of her own way when somebody puts a microphone in front of her face.
Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin, who's running for Senate, distancing herself from Kamala Harris is a big tell. I mean, that's a really big tell in Michigan.
It is, absolutely. And we're seeing it in Pennsylvania. We're seeing it in other states around the country that people are finally realizing that the American voters are paying attention. And this election cycle, it really comes down to a very serious question, whether or not America is going to be a strong country, whether Pennsylvania is going to be a strong state, right? And it comes down to a strong economy, a strong southern border, a strong standing in the world. And when you really focus on this election and you get away from the rah-rah, then people are understanding, wait a minute, we do not want to continue down this path. And all of these Senate candidates that are now starting to distance themselves from Kamala, it's because they're seeing it. They're feeling it. They understand she is not ready for prime time, and that this race is really starting to break.
Yeah, I agree. Bob Casey, of course, right here in Pennsylvania, doing the exact same thing, saying that he agreed with Trump on trade and he agrees with Trump on fracking, and no party affiliation, too, in Casey's ads, which is really, I think, incredibly telling.
Yeah, look, and what we're seeing right now in Pennsylvania is two things. One, Donald Trump has a ton of momentum. You go back to all the different rallies that he's had. You look at all the different cities that he's visited. You may have noticed we went to McDonald's on Sunday.
Oh, I didn't see that. Was that a thing? Was that
broke the internet? Just remarkable, right? But the president is absolutely building momentum that's very, very real in Pennsylvania. The second thing that we're seeing is Dave McCormick's doing the same thing.
Yep.
You know, we've seen about a 6-7 point shift in the last month. We're now seeing polls that have him ahead, and he is doing a fantastic job of really, truly going out there and talking directly to the voters and not just talking at them, talking to them. You know, the thing that Republicans have done a really good job of this cycle up and down the ballot is listen to the voters. Donald Trump understands what the voters care about because he's talking to them. He's listening. And when they tell him that the southern border is an issue, he's talking about it. When they tell him that the economy and rising gasoline prices and grocery prices and housing prices is a real issue, that's what he's talking about. When they say they're worried about the Middle East and they don't want World War III, That's what he's talking about. So, you know, Rich, I got to tell you, McCormick is doing a fantastic job. Our congressional candidates are doing a real good job. And so we're seeing a lot of momentum in Pennsylvania right now.
I got to tell you, you're doing a great job. I mean this. I've been critical of RNC chairs in the past, but it's been a pleasure getting to know you. And I think you are incredibly hardworking and you get it. And I think that comes from the fact that you were a state party guy before you were, elevated to the national front. So you get it. And you were a county guy, too. And so, you know, as well as I do, that there are only two ways to run a race, which is scared or unopposed. And I don't care how good these polls look. We have to go. We have to act like this is going to be down to one or two votes in every state. I don't want anyone, and I know you agree with this, Mr. Chairman, I don't want anyone thinking we got this in the bag. No way.
No, not at all. You know, and we're seeing record turnout right now in early voting and in the mail-in voting in states that it's out there. Pennsylvania, our numbers look really, really good. But what I'm telling everybody who's already voted, it's not enough.
Yep.
You got to go get 10 people. You got to go talk to your friends, your family members, your colleagues, your coworkers, because this state is going to come down to less than 1%, because we're going to see seven battleground states that are all going to be decided by 2 points or less. We cannot have anybody who supports Donald Trump stay home. You know, and so our entire grassroots effort over the last 6 months has been targeting low propensity voters, finding people that support Donald Trump, but they haven't voted in 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, maybe even 8 years. If you support Donald Trump, you need to go vote. If you support Dave McCormick, it does no good to shout at the TV. You have to vote and then talk to 10 other people and get them out there. That's what we're doing down the stretch. We've got 13 days to go. I know we're going to have the president. We're going to have J.D. Vance. We're going to have me. We're going to have Laura Trump in Pennsylvania. You're going to continue to see a lot of people there because it's the most important state in the country right now. We know we're going to win a bunch of different states around the country, but if we win Pennsylvania, we're going to have a really good November 5th.
Yeah, no question about it. And I'm glad that you guys are taking it so seriously. And obviously, Kamala Harris's latest flip-flop again on fracking. I don't even want to say it's a flip-flop, but just that her environmental campaign spokesman said the quiet part out loud. She does not support expansion of fracking. The leases that were done under the act that is not the Inflation Reduction Act, they want no part of. She said it. You know who Kamala Harris is. If Kamala Harris gets in there, fracking is done. And Pennsylvania is going to suffer, bottom line.
Kamala Harris's entire career has been built around a war on energy and opposing fracking. She has said multiple times, I am not going to change who I am. I am still the same person I've always been. Her values have not changed. She is going to absolutely declare war on energy the first day she's in office. We cannot let that happen. It will devastate the Pennsylvania economy. It'll devastate the American economy. We need Donald Trump in there to unleash Pennsylvania energy and unleash American energy, bring down those prices and inflationary spending, lower the cost for every Pennsylvania family to be able to get to the end of the month. It's absolutely critical. And I believe Kamala. I believe her when she says her values haven't changed. I think every voter in Pennsylvania needs to understand that as well.
Last thing before I let you go, because I know you got to get back to it in Michigan, but the auto workers there, I think it really is telling how they get it. They understand that the war on energy also extends to them, and that the EPA mandates on gas-powered cars, and ultimately it's going to lead to the end of the combustion engine through regulation if she gets in there, and that means less jobs for the auto workers, and that is something that absolutely I think these guys get and gals get.
Yeah, and what we're seeing right now in Michigan is a very clear divide between the leadership of that auto workers union that has supported Kamala and the rank and file members who absolutely don't. The rank and file members who their jobs depend on being able to build cars here in Michigan, they support Donald Trump. We're seeing it with the Teamsters. We're seeing it with the pipe fitters. We're seeing it with UA members. We're seeing it with every one of these, service working unions, right? That rank and file membership are with Donald Trump because nobody has fought harder for the American workers than he has.
Chairman Michael Whatley, I appreciate your time today. Keep up the great fight. We'll talk again soon.
Great. Take care, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, two things. I need you to, you'd be very wise to mark your calendar for November 13th. I can't tell you why yet. But if I were you, I would hold the evening of November 13th. Okay? Can't tell you why, but if I were you, I would hold that night open. That's all I can say for the moment. Big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com, the master of implant dentistry, named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. Schedule your free implant consultation today at 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020. And when it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons Roofing and Siding is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, but it is going to give you the peace of mind, be more energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements because winter is on its way, obviously. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So whether it's a durable, lifetime warranted Owens Corning roof that looks sharp or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough for many people, they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home and take advantage of the inflation relief discount. 10% off emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so a couple of things. I'm not gonna talk about the litigation with the Republican National Chairman. I'm gonna tell you what I've been saying. Everything you're hearing, they're aware of. Okay, everything you're hearing, every issue is being brought up to their attention. So, you know, a couple of people were like, ask him about this, ask him about that, all regarding ballots and counting. The RNC is all over this stuff, right? There's no reason to ask the chairman about it. They have an army, literally an army of lawyers who are litigating and relitigating and filing appeals and dealing with this on all of these issues. And I'm telling you right now, it's probably going to be a friggin' nightmare. The lawyers will always win. They always do. But whatever the story is, whether it's Arizona and they're saying it's going to take this long to count, or it's Nevada with this county, or whatever it is, all that stuff is going to be litigated. I promise you. So don't worry about it. I'm not going to waste his time. I know what the answer is going to be. Mr. Chairman, what about this case? He's going to say, well, our lawyers are looking at it and we're dealing with it. That's going to be the answer on all of this stuff. What I keep telling you is, if you have anything specific in your world, forget what you're seeing on Twitter or anything else, if you encounter something, if you encounter a problem, please let us know about it. Let me know about it. Let protectthevote.com know about it. Whatever you're encountering, you don't have to worry about what you're seeing on Twitter. All of that stuff is getting flagged, I promise you. But what's very important, though, is if you encounter anything where you are having a problem with early voting, you're having a problem with in-person voting, whatever it is, all right? Whatever you're dealing with, because that's what they need to know, is an actual experience. So, for example, if you get a ballot that has an inner secrecy envelope the outer secrecy envelope that is sealed shut, let them know about it so that they can figure out how many other people this is happening to. If there are instances where you had your mail stolen, not that you saw a video of somebody having their mail stolen, but you had your mail stolen and your ballot's gone, or then let them know. They need to know this stuff for real. They really do. But trust me, the lawyers are all over this. And this is going to be, if this election is really as close as they're saying it is, then whether or not we know who the winner is on Wednesday or not, I imagine there's going to be a lot of court cases. I really do. That's my anticipation of this. And by the way, there's a couple different scenarios to get to the magic number of 270 electoral votes. Even if we don't know Pennsylvania that night, if this goes the way I think it's going to go, it would be nice to add it to the total. I don't think it's going to be necessary to put Trump in the White House. That's my sense of how this is going right now. Same thing with Arizona and Nevada. I'm not worried about the counting and everything. I think Trump, there's a couple different scenarios that I see where he hits the 270 mark, even if ballots are not fully counted in those states. So that's my sense of it. I'm not going to hyperventilate over every single story that I see on social media at this point, because a lot of that stuff is already being dealt with in court. But just keep us posted about anything you, especially as a Pennsylvania voter, anything you are experiencing and dealing with, please. It's incredibly essential. It's incredibly important that we can stay on top of all this. All right. I wanted to mention to you that. Let's see this now. This Atlantic hit piece, it's awful. And I want to go back to this because I started the show with this. Let's leave there's two things about the Hitler stuff. Okay. There's two aspects of this. The first aspect is that it's the anti-Semitism of Adolf Hitler, obviously. But when they bring up Hitler, they don't mean that. What they're trying to imply is that he's going to be this evil dictator who's going to take over the world. That's what they're trying to say. Remember, these Democrats don't like Jews. They didn't pick Josh Shapiro because he's Jewish. They're going after Jaime's Deli because the Republican Jewish Coalition shot a commercial there. Didn't even say it was Jaime's Deli on the main line. And they're killing him. They're killing him. Poor Lou, the owner. Great family place. Best pickle bar. Best matzo balls. They're killing the guy. These people have no tolerance. It's not about anti-Semitism. I've seen a couple of other commentators who were like, well, then why is this administration siding with Hamas or Hezbollah if he's Hitler? But that's not what that's not it. What they're trying to imply is that Trump is going to seize power like Adolf Hitler did. That's what they're implying. That's the implication there. It's disgraceful because his daughter's Jewish and his grandkids are Jewish. It's disgraceful from that perspective. But that's what they mean. That Trump is going to seize power and be an ultimate dictator like the Fuhrer and never leave and then take over everything. That's what they're saying when they bring up Hitler. And it's pathetic. It's despicable. So I keep going back to why the hell did he leave the White House then in the first place? When he was the commander in chief and had control of the military, why did he leave? Why didn't he have Joe Biden arrested like Maduro tried to do in Venezuela? I mean, that's what a dictator does. Right, Maduro loses the election. The guy who lost to him had to flee to Spain. I mean, the guy who won, I mean, had to flee to Spain. Because Maduro started rounding up all of his allies and was going to kill the guy. That's what dictators do. Dictators don't send out a tweet saying, I'm not going to the inauguration, hop on a flight back to Florida and call it a day. So when Trump was in power, why didn't he have Biden arrested? Why didn't he send in the military to take out Joe Biden? The hell with it. At that point, what would he care? And I know that some snarky lefty is going to be like, well, because the Supreme Court hadn't ruled on civil on presidential immunity yet. Oh, shut up. At that point, you don't care what the Supreme Court has to say, because the Supreme Court's going to say you can't be in the White House, and you're going to turn around and go, you know, and give a giant FU. So really, if Trump wanted to, why didn't he have Joe Biden's motorcade taken out? Why didn't he have Joe Biden whacked? Why didn't he have Joe Biden arrested on the way to the inauguration? Why didn't he shut it down? It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but it doesn't work. But it's shameful. It's shameful that the Vice President of the United States of America would come out and say that Donald Trump was praising Adolf Hitler, to take this hearsay nonsense in a hit piece by The Atlantic and run with that. But let's understand, this is not implying that he's anti-Semitic. They like to do that, too, but they're anti-Semitic. The Democrat Party's anti-Semitic. They hate Jews. That's why, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them do. That's why Shapiro isn't the running mate right now. And if he was, their campaign would be in a much different place right now in Pennsylvania. She'll lose Pennsylvania. Trump's going to win Pennsylvania. And then one of the reasons will be that she didn't pick Josh Shapiro as her running mate. That'll be one of the reasons that... go back in history and you go, that was one of their worst mistakes that they made. That was the end of the campaign, in my opinion, was the pick of Tim Walz. But it's not about that. It's this notion that he's praising Hitler, who had absolute supremacy over the military and controlled everything, and then had his enemies rounded up and never left power, and then destroyed the Constitution. Because Germany had a constitution. Germany had a constitution when Hitler came to power. He just ignored it. So that's the implication. That's the implication that they want people to believe. They want people to sit there and go, oh, my God, could this guy take over the world and take over our country and destroy America and be the Fuhrer. Not from the Jewish perspective, just alone, because, again, these people look at how they're acting towards Israel. They don't care about the Jews. It's not about that. No, it's this idea that he's the supreme leader, that he's the Fuhrer, that he's the undisputed leader. And that's who he wants to be. The undisputed. I shouldn't say leader. That's the wrong word for it. The undisputed dictator. But it is a ridiculous fantasy that voters at this point, it just doesn't reach them. If it didn't reach him in 2016, it's not going to reach him in 2024. Because 2016 was the time for voters to think about Trump being Hitler and thinking to themselves, I can't chance it with this guy that he might blow up the world or take over the world or be whatever it is. And I can't risk it. So I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And they didn't do that. They didn't do that. So now you're going to tell a guy, honestly, you're going to tell a guy at a black barbershop, he's Hitler. And the guy's going to be like, stop. The guy left, right? Enough. Well, you got to hear some of these comments that were said by black voters to Alex Wagner on MSNBC. It's mind-blowing stuff. Mind-blowing stuff. But Newman Price is in Jenkintown. Newman Price, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
I could barely hear you.
Let me take it off speaker.
Okay.
Is that a little better?
A little bit. A little bit.
All right. Yeah, I had it on speaker. I apologize. Yeah, God, this has my blood boiling, all this stuff. You know, they tried to talk before, but, you know, here they go again, you know, talking, you know, all this anti-Semitic stuff. I was trying to call in with some lighthearted info on the portal. You know, yesterday was the first day, and, you know, it's typical Philly fashion. It's broken already. I don't know if you knew that or not.
What portal?
The portal down in Love Park.
Oh, it's broken? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, the screen was cracked already. But listen, some good news for you.
Yeah.
I went through the portal into the future, and pineapple pizza is actually illegal. There's some heavy fines instituted for that. But the bad news is, on the way back out of the portal, I'm pretty sure I saw some Democrats bringing some ballots and some immigrants with them.
Yeah.
So we need to watch out for that.
Well, that's
true. But anyway.
But don't forget something. In Project 2025, pineapple pizza is illegal. That's in Project 2025. It's on page 632.
It certainly should be. Also, a PSA here, which might throw off the poll numbers a little bit. I got a call the other day. If anyone gets a call from the DNC and they ask you about voting, just straight up lie to them. I was like, yeah. I'm voting for Kamala. Yeah, absolutely. I just want their numbers to be off. I know that's, you know, maybe not the most advantageous thing.
Why not?
They need to have a little.
I got to run, buddy. But listen, thank you for all your great tweets and your comments. You're a very funny guy, and we love Newman Price on social media. So keep up the good work.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Rich.
All right, you bet. I'm going to take a quick break. Trump is speaking at this faith-based event in Georgia. I want to dip into that a little bit for you. Got a big show ahead. We got some great guests coming up, too, including we're going to talk to Andy McCarthy a little bit later in the show because, you know, this Nathan Wade stuff is blowing up, too. We got to chat about that. So all that straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.